Praise God. I accept, Lord, what you're going to do tonight. This is your service. We give this service to you, and you have your will and your way. What you want done, do. In Jesus' name. Tonight's message, another one of the messages on the gifts of the Spirit, is discerning of spirits. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, and verse 10. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." At no time is the Lord going to give a gift to somebody that is going to heap it on themselves. It is for the body. It is for all. And verse 10 says, "To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues." Father, I ask that you add your anointing to your word through my lips, to these hearts. And I pray that this goes deep within every one of us. And we learn something, we take away, and it becomes fruit. That seed is planted, mixed with faith, and it becomes profitable for each one of us in Jesus' name. Did you notice in that 10th verse, it says, discerning of spirits, plural. It's not discerning of spirit. And it's not saying that there's only one kind of spirit, but it's discerning of spirits. Before we go farther in that, I want to read 1 John 4, 1 through 6. 1 John 4, verses 1 through 6 in the New King James. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. We who know God hears us. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Now, the discerning of spirits has to do with, there's a testing of spirits, there's a checking of spirits, there's a willingness to understand what spirit it is. Hebrews 5:14 says, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age." How many of us believe that? You try to hand a chicken on the bone to a little toddler, and that kid's going to hit you with it. He's not going to know what to do with it. He's going to use it as a club. He's not going to know it's food. There's some 80, 90-year-olds do the same thing. But solid food belongs to those who are full age. We should be mature is what it's saying. This is solid food, and it's for those who are mature Christians. That is, those who by reason of use, what does reason of use mean? That you have practiced and you've tried it and you've been participating in using it, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Okay? There are three types of spirits that are talked about in the Word. And there are examples we're going to show. That is God's angels, human spirits, and demonic spirits. Usually when somebody thinks about discerning of spirits, they're always talking about the heebie-creepies, demonic spirits, and there's a demon under that trash can, there's a demon behind that bush, there's a demon over there in that speaker, and oh my gosh, there's a demon in your hair. I mean, haven't you heard it? Haven't you been in the situation where someone sees so many demons, they probably aren't listening to God because they're not saying a thing about God. They're only talking about the enemy. Who's the false prophet there? Who's the false prophet there? When the person is saying nothing but the devil's ministry and the devil's gospel, who's the false prophet? we are to look into the Word. As we do, we will see various places that these three types of spirits are talked about. That's what we're going to do. We're going to start with discerning of angels. Luke 22:43 says, "Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him." Do you know which portion, what I'm talking about? Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was praying, and while he was praying, an angel stood by him and strengthened him. You say, yeah, but he was Christ. He laid down his godhood. He walked this earth in the same body you do as a human being. And if an angel can appear to him and strengthen him, he can appear to you and strengthen you in time of need. It's no different. But Jesus knew that it was an angel that was strengthening him as a man. Let's go to Acts 27. Acts 27, verses 23 and 24 says, For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all who sail with you. Okay, if you have a problem with Jesus being part God, part man, yeah, but that the angel strengthened him not because he was a man. Was Paul part man, part God? No. He was all man. And who stood by him? An angel. And gave him a word that gave him heart and reason to know by faith that things were going to be okay. So this is discerning that it was an angel instead of, oh my gosh, this bright demon stood beside me. No, he knew it was an angel. Nobody had to go and say, I'm an angel. No, he knew. He had the discerning of spirits. He knew this was God's message. Besides the message that came, he knew it was an angel. What about discerning of humans? The human spirit. John 1:47 says, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, and he said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit. There's nothing saying that he had ever met Nathanael. He saw him coming, and he told him that, and he told him more. Jesus discerned Nathanael's spirit, and he knew what manner of spirit was in him. You ever been around someone that you just go, I could feel God all over them. Oh, man, it's like they were in a worship service right there with me. It was amazing. While I was talking with them, it was like I was listening to angels. This was great. I felt communion with God while I was talking with them. You're discerning their spirit. You've been around the other kind of person where you're going, I have no idea that I ever want to be around that person again because my skin was crawling while I was even in their presence. They said things like everybody else. But oh my goodness, I just had this feeling. That's what you're experiencing. John 2:23 and 24 says, now when he was in Jerusalem at Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when he saw the signs which he did. Hey, you go to a revival and there's all kinds of signs going on. You go, hey, God's doing something there. They were believing because of the signs. Now it goes on to say, but Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. Even though the crowd was great, he could tell that the reason they were there was because of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 or because someone was raised from the dead. They were there for that. They weren't there for the message that the messenger had. They wanted to see something. They might as well have gone to a circus. That's all they wanted. They wanted the spectacular. They didn't want God. But Jesus could have taken that and turned it around, but because he knew the hearts of men, he discerned the hearts of men, that their hearts weren't in faith, he didn't spend time wasting on them. He went on. That's wisdom. That's wisdom, because you get a preacher in front of a bunch of people and they're all clamoring for more. Boy, you just want to give it. But he shut it down. He said, no, I know their hearts. Amen? Acts 14, verses 8 through 10 says, "And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently, and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, 'Stand up straight on your feet!' And he leapt and walked." See, Paul discerned that that man had faith. He looked at him and he watched him, and he saw things that witnessed in his spirit that this man had faith and God was going to heal him. He discerned that person's spirit as being hungry and faithful and looking for something from God. And he knew that man could receive. He discerned his spirit. So like I said, many times people go after the demonic and the terrible. But discerning of spirits is of angels. When you know that angels are in the room, you know that angels are at the accident scene, or they're around and you can feel them. You know they're there. Or sometimes some people have even seen them. Some people have been caught up and protected because of an angel. And they knew it was an angel. Other times it's you know the people that are around you, who's a believer and who's not. Now we're going to get to evil spirits. Luke 13, 11 through 13 says, "And behold, there was a woman who had the spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, 'Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity.' And he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God." Many people will take this and say, he healed her. No, he discerned the spirit of infirmity. Not a disease, but a spirit that had attached to her and was causing her to have all these symptoms and all this going on. He loosed her from the spirit of infirmity before he ever laid hands on her. He discerned that the evil spirits were causing this. He didn't address the spirit of infirmity. How many Holy Ghost messages have you been in and they start screaming and hollering at the demons? He didn't address that. He addressed the woman. See, we don't have to work up the power. The power is in God. The power is in his word. The work's already done. He just said, speak it. Amen? In 2 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 13, going to 15. "For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." You need to know those who are around you. Did you know the devil can make people sick? I just told you a spirit of infirmity. And if the devil can make someone sick, he can take that away and they appear healed. When I was in the Dakotas, I didn't go to powwows because powwows have Indian religion attached to them. And in doing so, there are people who get healed out of wheelchairs and healed from diabetes and different things at the powwow when the medicine man prays for them. Is that God? I have to say it's not. When I was working in the Dakotas, there wasn't one Native American family that we had to explain that God worked in miracles and signs, because they saw miracles and signs. They saw things they could not explain with the natural mind done by the shamans and the medicine men in Indian religion. It was spiritual. They tapped into it and they could cause things to happen. I have been in a situation that I'll go into at a different time where they tried to use it against us as pastors. And it was physical. It was visual. You could see it, feel it, taste the situation that was going on. And we had to go by what we knew in the Word, and we took authority over it, and we got out of that situation. And the victory was Christ's the next morning when the girl that was the family had called about had a total of 7 demons cast out of her, and she asked Jesus Christ back into her life. The enemy was not happy. Not happy at all. He sent the police over to have us arrested. And they walked in ready to arrest 2 preachers. And come to find out, they go, there's no crime. See, the enemy sends his ministers as if they've got power. And they do from him, but it's not God's power. Somebody could walk in here and start shooting some miracles around, and the discerning of the spirits would say, you're not of God. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Sit down. And they have to, because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And I wouldn't be talking to the demon. I'd be talking to the man. I have been in a situation where a young man, we knew he was demon possessed, right here in Kansas City. He had manifested in many different ways, and I won't belabor the ways and the things he did, because I'm not going to give testimony to what the devil was doing. I'm not going to give him his due. I'm just going to say this man was bound by that spirit. God put it on my heart, and he put it on a brother's heart separately, but brought us together, and we started talking about that man. We found out both of us were fasting for that man. So we decided to pray up to a certain day and then get together with that guy. And we did. And we prayed for him. First thing we did, we bound the spirits. Next thing we do, we worked on casting him out. The spirit wouldn't say another word. It did say its name, but wouldn't say another word. And the guy just sat and looked at us. You could see the guy was seeing what we were saying and seeing us and hearing us, but he wouldn't say anything. Months later, we ran into the guy, and he was clear-headed. And I asked him, called him by name, stood and talked to him for a while, and said, where you been? Haven't seen you in a while. And he said, you remember that time you had that meeting with me and that other guy? Yeah. You guys bound me. Or at least what was in me. And he got tired of not being able to do anything and it left. And he said, there's a church 3 doors down from where I live. And so I just went and would sit in the church, and the preacher came over because the door would be open. He'd sit in the church just sitting there knowing he needed to be near God. The preacher started talking with him, led him to the Lord, and they were having Bible study every day from that day on. We had identified and discerned the spirit that was in that man. God did the work, and he was born into the kingdom. He didn't get born into the kingdom while we were there because the spirit was fighting too hard, but it got so tired it couldn't do anything. It says, I'm going someplace I can do something. I can't do anything in that vessel. And what did the guy do? We'd already prayed with him that he would receive the Lord. He went away from us, found somebody else, and was led to the Lord. We didn't have any more contact with him to that point. And God still led him to the right place at the right time. He's a brother in the kingdom. I know another brother. He's still a friend of mine. I was there when the demons were cast out of him. And everybody was screaming and hollering and praying hard and praying in tongues and shouting and commanding the devil. And the preacher just said, everybody be quiet. Go sit down and quietly pray. Because all of your activity is causing the spirit to get so agitated, we can't do anything. So he sat down at the altar with this young man. And the demon came out and he asked him to pray the sinner's prayer, and he did. The guy's still a Christian today, and that was back in the 70s. I just talked to him today, reminded him of how things could have been back in the 70s if he hadn't. And he admitted, said, that would have been terrible if I hadn't done that. Thank God. It was the discerning of spirits, because see, you have to know that a spirit's there and recognize it and then know you have the authority to do something about it. Okay? God gave these gifts to the church. If the enemy is going to use this kind of power, if the enemy is going to go and do it, shouldn't the one who's in control have ambassadors to do better and more? Amen. We are to know, have knowledge of those who labor among us, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:12 says, "Now also I beseech you." He's strongly asking you to do this. "I beseech you, get to know those who labor among you. Recognize them for what they are. Acknowledge and appreciate and respect them all. Your leaders who are over you in the Lord, and those who warn and kindly reprove and exhort you." If we're to know those that work and labor among us, we're to also be able to know those who walk into our midst that are false sheep, that are wolves. And that's what discerning of spirits. So you can know the person's spirit. You can know when it's an angel in the room. You can know when it's not an angel in the room. Kathy and I, we felt angel wings October 8th, 1997. My dad's laying on his deathbed. We're at the nursing home. We got the bed up high so we can stand there, and he's at our level. And we're all standing around talking to him, praying for him. And the very moment that his body left, or his spirit left his body, a wind whipped through that room and came straight up through him and straight up through the ceiling. You felt it. And there'd been no wind, no breeze in that whole room the whole time. And a bunch of us just looked at the ceiling at that time and said, all in unison, "Bye, Dad. We love you." We all knew that it was angels taking him home because of the discerning of spirits. You knew it. So we must know those who labor among us, and we need to know when we have true men and women of God in our midst or false ministers. Just because they're a preacher and they've got a TV program doesn't mean it's the word they're teaching. Amen. Just because they've got a big budget and a smiling face doesn't mean it's the word they're teaching. Just because they've got a big building and they've got a huge crowd doesn't mean it's the word they're teaching. See, you should be able to walk into a place and say, "This doesn't feel like church. The only thing missing is the alcohol. It'd be a hootenanny." You should be able to know those who are laboring among you, what manner of person they are. God gives that gift to the church. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 to 22 says, "Be unceasing in prayer. Pray perseveringly. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and meditator or mediator of that will. Do not quench, suppress, or subdue the Holy Spirit. Do not spurn the gifts of, and utterances of the prophets. Do not depreciate prophetic revelations, nor despise inspired instruction or exhortation or warning. But test and prove all things until you can recognize what is good. To that, hold fast. Abstain from evil, shrink from it, and keep aloof from it, in whatever form and whatever kind it may be." How are you supposed to stay away from it if you don't know what it is? You don't know where it came from. There's a lot of stuff out there that sounds pretty good. But once you realize that it's not of God, you run. Verse 19 tells us to not quench the Spirit. That word quench is just what it sounds like. We don't use it as much as they did in the Old English, but it means to extinguish, to go out, to suppress, to stifle. So we need to make sure that we're not stopping what God's trying to say. If God's telling you, don't go there, they're not of me, and you're going, la, 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 they're singing a song I like. Right? You're not supposed to suppress or stifle what God's trying to tell you. In other words, he who has ears to hear, right? That means you have to be a listener. You know, you can hear things without listening. There are no doors on your ears. There are doors on your eyes. There's doors on your mouth, right? You can shut your mouth, shut your eyes. You can't shut your ears. But see, hearing is different from listening. He who has ears to hear, let him listen. Let him take it in. Bring it in and do something with it. Don't just let it go in one ear and out the other. You want to get the teaching? Just turn your head sideways, stick your finger in the other ear, and let it go in. And then when it's over, plug it in the other ear and let it stick in. It doesn't work that way. Listening is an active participation. You can't just sit there and snooze. You'll hear, but is it going to be profitable for you? Amen? We are not to put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20 and 21 says again, do not spurn the gifts and utterances of the prophets. Don't depreciate the prophetic revelations, nor despise inspired instruction. But test and prove all things until you can recognize what is good, to that hold fast. Discerning of the spirits is for the entire body. It may be given to a person, a number of people, or it may look like healing where the minister's ministering and they go and they say something to this person here and that person gets up and they say, you have got faith to be healed. God's going to heal you and you've got the faith. Come here, I want to pray for you. Or may give a, you've got a spirit of infirmity on you. God says he wants to take that off. He wants to remove it and you will be healed. First, you got to deal with the spirit if that's what's causing it. It's not just a physical malady. You can pray for the physical body all you want. You're not taking care of the problem. So God gives you that revelation, that discerning of spirits, to know when it's a spirit and when it's healing. When it's sickness or when it's an attack. Amen? God didn't leave us defenseless. Amen? Amen. So as we pray tonight, I want each of you to be praying and asking God, Lord, will you use me in these 9 gifts? Lord, you say these gifts are for the church. I'm part of the church. Lord, what can you use me in? Lord, you filled me with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What about the gifts? I've got the fruit. Boy, you're really working in me in those areas. But what gifts are you going to have me use to help edify and build up the body? And the reason I'm asking you to ask is, doesn't the word say about prophecy, seek to prophesy? And if you seek to prophesy, can't you seek for the others? God, are you going to use me here? God, are you going to use me there? Because, see, God doesn't use a vessel that's closed up. He used a vessel that's willing. One that's willing to stand in his holiness and walk in his holiness. You're not buying anything from God when you do that. You're just making yourself an open vessel ready for him to pour in what he wants to pour in so he can trust you to pour out what he wants to pour out. There's not a person in this room that is a young Christian. There's not a person in this room that isn't a seasoned, filled with the Spirit person. Now, all of our tongues, all of our manifestations are a little different from each other. But you go around the world, there's some languages that are no more than clicks. There's others that, if you go listen to my ancestors, you wouldn't know what they said because it's in Gaelic. Cymru a Dhal. That's Gaelic. But do you know what it means? Doesn't mean a thing to you. All of us have differences of administration. God gives it to us. Don't look down on what God's given you. But use. Keep yourself open to let him pour in and through you the prophecy, the words of wisdom, words of knowledge, the special healings, the gifts of faith, prophecy, the discerning of spirits. We haven't even got to interpretation of tongues and speaking in tongues yet. These other gifts are the gifts of power, the gifts of revelation, and starting in the gifts of utterance here. So God puts it into his body. He doesn't need everybody being prophets. We'd all be standing around prophesying each other. And then some of us would never be able to, because there's two or three or one prophesy and two check to see if what they're saying is right. Bear witness with them. See, God wants you to be used in these gifts. Otherwise, he wouldn't have given them. That'd be like saying, tell you what, first person to come up here to get these keys can have anything and everything this unlocks. Every key on here. And if everybody just sat there like you did, I'd say, okay, you don't want it. You'd never know if I really meant it, because you never tried to take what was just offered. God gives gifts to the church, but he doesn't want us to sit back and just say, oh my goodness, that's for somebody else. Look around. It's only for believers. He's not going to give it to the world. He had you born for such a time as this. You were born at the right time for what he wants to do in this world using you. Seek him and say, God, what do you want to use me for? How do you want to use me? You may say, but I'm scared. I might make a mistake. I might say it wrong, and somebody might call me down later and say, you know, the word actually says this. How many people go and look at a two-year-old and say, you're no good. You can't say aluminium, aluminum, any one of the ways you want to pronounce it. And a kid look at you and think, what is he saying? But you say toy, car, doll, ball, block, crayon, and they'll know what you're talking about because it's in their language. You are at a different level, each one at a different level in where you understand, but God doesn't wait until you get to that magic level that you hit the bubble and he goes, okay, now I can use you. He gives you the gifts and the tools to start practicing with what he's given you. That little kid one day may be able to see the difference between aluminum and aluminium only because that child did exactly what they were supposed to do. They learned, they practiced, and they did it over and over again. As we go through life, we have to be able to use the gift. But you have to start somewhere. How many of you started off baptism, Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues, and you were as fluent as someone that had a degree in a language? None of us. None of us. And some are fluent and they think it's just babbling. Have you ever heard Brother Hagin when he's speaking in tongues? You'd think it sounded like an Oxford education. It just rolled up. Sometimes it's real choppy and it's just a few letters, few syllables, few sounds. But don't stand between him and the power of God. God's power will knock you down. It's not the sound, because, see, you're not speaking the tongue of you. It's the tongue of men and angels. And you're not speaking to you, you're speaking to God. And if God gave you the language, he's the one interpreting it. And there's a difference between speaking in tongues as a message and speaking in tongues as a prayer language. We'll talk about that later. But this gift of discerning, That's like walking out here without your shoes and someone throws some tacks out in front of you. Or Legos. You know how those feel. Those sometimes are worse than tacks. Those little sharp corners. See, God doesn't say go out there without shoes. He says go out with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your feet shod, right? That's practice. We need to practice these things. In your personal prayer time, I want you to seek God and say, God, we've been studying these gifts. I'm getting hungry for some of these. Are these people going to bring it in their briefcase, traveling ministers, and they bring it and they take it away? That's not what God said. He's talking about those who labor among you. Yes. He has a church here. He's not going to bring up an angel sitting over here on the front row, second seat. Boom. Give a gift of word and wisdom, or knowledge, or something, and then go away. He's going to give it to somebody sitting here that's human. And guess what? We're the only humans in the room. You are part of the body. God wants to use you. He doesn't use me in it all the time because he wants to use you. Remember, it's for the edification of all, not just the one. So the discerning of spirits is something that we all need to say, God, can I have more of that? God, can you use me that way? I need to know when I'm talking with someone that I need to watch out. I need to know when I'm talking to someone that I need to listen because they have a gift coming out of them that's one of the spiritual gifts. And I'm not just going, I can't stand that guy or I can't stand that gal. I'm not listening. You might miss something God wanted to say. Amen. Father, I pray a blessing upon each one of us in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for everything that was said tonight, the word that went forth. And I ask it to be planted deep within us and that we mix it with faith. We go home and we chew on it and we chew on it and we search the scriptures and we chew on it some more. And we come back and we say, this is what I saw after what you said. I went and saw this and come back with a testimony or a word or a song. Lord God, I pray for your gifts to be poured out upon your church. That, Lord, your ministry would happen from these seats, from the people that come. That when people walk in the door, they say, I was in the presence of people that serve the Most High God. Lord, I thank you for the worship. I thank you for your presence in the Spirit tonight. Father, I pray for the manifestation of your gifts in this body and in this church. Through these hands, those mouths, those bodies, those individuals. In Jesus' name, build us up, edify us, lift us up, and train us for the work you are doing in our midst. And Lord, I thank you for each and every one here because you put us all here at an appointed time, a moed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. At this time, we'll receive the blessing. Remember, God puts his name on us. And he will bless us through this.
Yeverik karodanai veshmurecha. Yaradanai panav elecha vechunecha. Yesa arunai panav elecha vesham. Lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his face towards you.
Shalom, shalom.
And the Lord give you peace. Shalom, shalom.
Amen. Go in peace.